I'm Jerry, a very grateful, recovering, compulsive overeater. It's wonderful to be with everybody. God loves Zoom. When I was blessed to be invited to speak at 5 a.m., I was like, you know, all right, you know, I didn't have plans to be anywhere else. So I just put myself on, pretend I'm taking an airplane without having to get on the airplane kind of thing. So I got my coffee like most of you, and I'm not sure where the meeting originates time zone, but I'm in New York, and I'm an available sponsor. So if anybody's looking for a sponsor, please judge away if I'm the best sponsor for you or not, or whatever, as I speak. Anyway, I don't happen to think like judgment is necessarily quote unquote a bad thing or a good thing, but I think discernment, you know, I'm doing that every day. Is it a good idea to do this? Is it a good idea to do that? On my best days, I say, God, is it a good idea to do this? Is it a good idea to do that? I'm not doing it alone, but it also in the big book that we use, it says, you know, God gave us a brain. So, you know, my job is to know, like, I guess, and listen intuitively when to use it and when to like really ask. And if I'm really going to follow the big book, it says ask for every single decision. That's a tall order, but it is a place to strive to. I'm also like, wow, there's a lot of people on this meeting. So I'm thinking, is it a 10 o'clock meeting that's somewhere else, that this or that? But I'll get all the details later. What a beautiful way to start the day. So I'm gonna bless you, the box that's sneezing there. I'm going to share some pictures. I'm a big one picture is a thousand words. My heaviest weight was 325 pounds. That was number was determined or authenticated by my first sponsor that took a look at. I thought it was like, I don't know. I said, oh, I was about 300. He looked at the pictures. Nah, that's 325 at least. So that became my, you know, my top weight from that. But the, but I came into OA and was invited to weigh myself that first day as a starting point. And it was 258 pounds. I had just slowed down a little bit from my top weight when the seatbelt didn't fit on the plane. And I just put a blanket over my lap because I wasn't asking for an extender. I knew they existed. And I couldn't suck my breath in any further or whatever, cajole or, you know, like whatever it was. And at first I was like, well, if the plane, you know, forget all the other people. If the plane goes down, it goes down, you know, poor me. And then I was like, then the second thought, which even in recovery, the second thought's often the better one. Yeah, this is not the way the story's ending. You know, I was in my early 30s at the time. So anyway, the pictures. This here is a picture. I adopted my daughter from China. That was my top weight. She was going to be my last solution to, you know, nobody wants to be a fat mom. I wasn't going to, I was single. I wasn't going to biologically reproduce. It seemed I wanted to be a mom. It seemed like a great idea. And as my sponsor said, ultimately, that's the one that worked. I did adopt her. My plan to lose the weight, like most pregnant people gain weight, I was going to lose the weight. I had it all figured out. It didn't work. And what I made up is because it took me 2.5 years to adopt a 1-year-old, I started her adoption process well before her conception. I made up, well, God must have got tired of waiting for me and thought, let's just give her the kid and then we'll make it happen on the other end. So I had her a year before I physically went into OA. After I went into OA, and that's coming on May, this May is coming on 20 years, I lost the weight within the year or so. And my whole life was transformed. I wanted to be alive. I wanted to be a good mom. with God's grace, all those things happened, that this picture was taken last year. We pretty much both look the same. And she just, my daughter Sarah just started her third year of college and is an A student. And the family joke is, we wouldn't, like, you know, authentically, she wouldn't swap me out. I remind her frequently that I hit daughter lotto. But the joke is, she dodged the genetic bullet. And part of the genetic bullet is addiction and, predisposition to being overweight and addiction in some format. The biggest thing, and I never wanted to put like my eating thing on her, you know, she didn't have a clue, because by the time she had consciousness, the only evidence of how heavy I was the pictures. And I guess, you know, her generation must have still had Fat Albert or whatever, because she said, oh, that's like pictures like when you were like Fat Albert. I was never offended, because it was, you know, I don't know, it was accurate. And I was heavy like that because I ate consistent with being heavy. I never had the belief that it was a metabolism thing. It was a, I ate too much thing. I would also marvel, like when I would say, honey, you want to finish that cookie? There's a bite or so left. No, thanks, mommy. I had enough. I had never had enough. But also, genetics aside, I hugged her a lot. I knew to hug her a lot, not because I was hugged a lot by my mom, but because I wasn't. And it was noticeably absent, especially with a dad that was appropriately affectionate and demonstrative in his feelings. So I had, like, you know, warm here, cold there. But in the middle of it all, you know, sure, I could blame my mother. I heard a slogan once, if it's not one thing, it's your mother. And I've, you know, I could find that to be true in my case. But at a certain point, at a certain age, you know, enough with the mother stuff, you know, I got what I got and all of that. That came later for me. It did come ultimately through OA, like to really get it landed. I came into OA at the age of 42. Yeah, 42. Sarah was 2 years and 4 months. I calculated it one time. And then through the steps, I learned, just like the Big Book promises, you know, it doesn't teach us how to stop drinking. It teaches us how to live on a spiritual life. And I found that to be accurate, because it turns out that I came to believe that I couldn't fix this. I came to believe there was something off, like it was not a normal thing to be, you know, that hungry, even though I knew I wasn't fully hungry, but I was a high volume eater. But I always kind of knew something was wrong, but I didn't put much thought to it because I was in the cycle. So when I came to OA, and I say I come to OA, my very dear friend basically 12-stepped me, like, in a, you need to take your fat ass to OA. Find a meeting for lesbians. We don't want to bury you. Who's going to raise your daughter? And I was ready to listen, because the 6 months prior, I saw that I hadn't lost any weight, having had Sarah for a year. And I wanted to live. I just did. And I felt like I was at risk for a heart attack or stroke or whatever. I mean, it was like I took a cab around the block, you know, like, just a mess, you know.
That's 10 minutes, Jerry.
Thanks, 10 minutes. Transitioning, using the first 10 minutes to say how it was and all of that. I listened to my friend who encouraged me strongly to come to OA. I was ready. One of my favorite questions, how do you know somebody's hit their bottom? I know there are several good answers. I'm sure we could all have, as many of us that are here, another good answer. My favorite one is when the person stops digging. So I came to OA and I was ready. I was struck. I used to think I was struck abstinent, but actually I was struck willing to listen. The first day, I went to a lunchtime meeting at the LGBT center in New York because I took her literally. I mean, you know, maybe there was a couple of gay people there here or there. The point was, it just met there. And it was just nice people. And I got to see right, like in a circle of really great people, like how ridiculous it was that my brain was like for 15 years, you know, you don't need OA, you know, no, everybody knows. You have to just eat less and move more, blah, blah, blah. Like I just had every hallmark of character defects that you could. So it wasn't when I did finally come a strong buy-in, but they encouraged me, there's a beginner's meeting tonight. You got to go to the beginner's meeting. All right. So I went to the beginner's meeting and that's where I met my sponsor. He was the guy holding the book and he passed his driver's license around and I had to look at the picture, had to look at him back and forth. To find the dimples in what was a fat Santa Clausy type of face to the man that stood in front of me that I didn't realize exactly what it was that I was attracted to besides the, you know, the obvious, but I came to recognize it was the light in his eyes. It was the joy. And I also love out of the big book, it says, or the 12 and 12, God does not, yeah, the big book, God does not, one of them, basically God doesn't play hard to get. If you're like, yo, God, it's like almost like kind of real easy if I just ask. And it's still that way today. If I struggle, it's because I'm not asking. If I ask, I'm not struggling. And I don't need to struggle anymore. I have nothing left to prove. I got a sponsor my first day. If anybody's new and you just want to test it out a little bit before you get a sponsor, that's for me, you know, the opinions here are those express, you know, whatever. But that's like prolonged, like saying somebody's, you know, you're sick and here's the medicine. And as soon as you take the medicine, you're going to get better and deciding to wait. It's a spiritual medicine. The sponsor isn't the answer. In my experience, a sponsor is a conduit. They were brought through the steps. They bring the person through the steps. It really is simple. If I want to get better and if I want to stop getting better, I have relapse in my history too. I waited, you know, don't date the first year when you're, you know, then I was like, well, you just lost 100 and something pounds. It suggested you wait another year to stabilize and all that. All right. Like, I don't know. I waited. Finally, I started dating and I became evidence, collateral damage of what is it when you dating is like putting a Miracle-Gro on your character defects. So I had one relationship for 3 years. Then, you know, a breakup that I didn't want, but I was okay. You know, finally I was like, all right, you know, this is nuts anyway, but like, okay, what a time I had. No regrets. 30 days later, I met somebody else. They never asked when my last relationship was. I didn't think to mention it. It worked out. And, you know, like, I don't know, a year in, she's like, you mean I was like a rebound? No, honey, no. You know, I mean, the truth is, if I had had my way, I wouldn't have been with her. But she was awesome. And we had 6 years and, you know, engaged after the first year. And then her mom didn't approve and wasn't going to come to the wedding. And I don't know, one thing after the other. And it just, you know, was not going to be the happily ever after. It was thanks for the memories. And
5 minutes remaining, Jerry.
Thanks. 5 minutes. So I am single. I'm happy. I called my friend not all that long ago and said, I thought used to think he was nuts for being single. And I would say, I see what you mean now. There's something to this. I'm 61. I'm not opposed to meeting somebody and, you know, and it happening. And I know I'm out there in the world being me, and God can have all sorts of things happen. He does that with me every day. I have a wonderful sponsor. I weigh and measure my food at her suggestion. I've started, I'm with her a year. I started having only three meals. I always had a snack. I knew nobody, I had enough recovery to know nobody died between lunch and dinner and breakfast, but I was like, no snack. But the nutritionist made the same food just three times. And son of a gun, it was my most recent like aha, because I was like, how do people do that? Oh, three meals of life in between is a slogan for everything. But it really is easier. I was amazed. So I have like ease and grace around the food, because for me, I work the program because I don't want to go back to any of that nutty stuff. And I don't have sugar. I don't have flour. I don't have sugar substitute or alcohol. Those are things that doesn't work for me. Things that don't work for me. And there were times in my recovery where I had flour again, so pizza, bread, sandwiches, and like within my food plan. But ultimately, it's not my friend. Then it became management, a sandwich a week, a popcorn on Saturday, which I really do miss. It was a scoop of air pop popcorn, but I did look forward to it. But I'm living a great life without it too. So it's living on a spiritual path means I'm having the time of my life. I'm the cool mom. I always have the kids here. It's like when my daughter's home, it's like a dorm, you know, they all flock. I have friends. I am a sponsor. I have one more slot open right now. I'm amazed. I sound like an old fart. I'm amazed. It used to be everybody would like just work a strong program. And now it just seems like, you know, I most frequently, could you sponsor me? Sure. Are you willing to let go of sugar, flour? No. But thank you, though, you know, and that's okay. And I know lots of us have sugar and flour and different things.
2 minutes, Jerry.
2 minutes. Thank you. Everybody's got their own thing. So I don't knock anything. I just know what works for me. And if I'm going to share experience, strength, and hope, I only know what works for me. So I don't have it like anybody should do this or that. I just have it like, this is what I do. It's the only thing I do. And my sponsor wanted me to see a nutritionist to design my own specific food plan within three meals and letting go of sugar and flour and all that. And I did that. I'll finish with this. I learned early on by my first sponsor, I was a bit of an arguer in the beginning. Most of us are. And one day through loving kindness and gentle frustration, he said, Jer, you know, if it's not illegal, immoral, unethical, or physically impossible, maybe you'll just take a suggestion from your sponsor. And there's not one suggestion I ever took that wasn't a great suggestion, you know, in some form or another. And he also used to say, you could either learn by taking a suggestion or the natural consequences of your actions. Both you'll learn. I've also found that to be you know, mostly I listen. And if a sponsor says, I don't think that's a good idea, I'm programmed. Like when my parents, I used to laugh. If not, I don't think that's a good idea. It was like they would pee on the cornflakes. It's like it just ruined it. So, you know, I wasn't going to do it. And that has also served me well, like to listen. I learned things like, if you have to decide right away, just like say no if somebody's pushing you or pressuring you. And, you know, if I also believe if I don't put the mask on myself, I can't be there for other people. So, you know, keeping it simple means
that's time, Jerry.
Thank you, time. It means I'm all right. And if we're all here at, you know, what a like engaging group and cameras on and everybody's like shiny and like all that, I'm like, wow, I think I'll have to come back and wake up early, a little earlier, start the day with a meeting. What's better than this? So thanks for letting me share, everybody. I'm looking forward to hearing from all of you.